Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Mark 7, 31 through 37. He left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee. Apparently, Jesus went north from Tyre to Sidon about 25 miles and then... I'm sorry. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hands on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak."
Thank you, brother.
Good morning, Grace Church. Boy, it was good to hear the fellowship time there of sharing as we just continue to come back, and it feels good. I mean, as we sing that song, I thank you, the worship team, for leading us. You guys sound good. Again, if you are visiting, thank you for joining us. If you are online, probably the most important thing to know is that I am not the pastor. My name is Chad. I'm an elder here at Grace. And so you are without excuse. If after this sermon you feel less than impressed, you should return and listen to Pastor Tom. He has done a phenomenal job of leading us through the Gospel of Mark. And I hope that you have not really enjoyed. I hope that God has been speaking to you and you have been hearing what God has been saying through the Gospel of Mark. Because we have been learning who Jesus is, why he came, and what that means for us. And I want to thank Jonathan, my brother, for reading scripture this morning. If you haven't met Jonathan, he is an awesome man. And he's also an awesome builder. He's a carpenter, and when he builds something, he builds it well. Maybe you have bought a house, and as you live in it, you have realized that maybe the builder took some shortcuts. Maybe you have taken over a project at work and realized that your coworkers, they took a few shortcuts as well. Maybe you asked your child to clean their room. And in the Herzog household, the next thing that comes is inspection. Maybe that room failed inspection. Not cleaning your room completely has consequences. Shortcuts in building a house has consequences. Shortcuts in healthcare, dangerous. And that's how we came up with the phrase of anything worth doing is worth doing well. Kelly and I often talk, we don't have tons of free time, both working full-time jobs and three kids. And, you know, we have a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, a dishwasher, a grill, a furnace, a car, a vacuum, a blender. And what do all those come with? They all come with manuals, right? And if you were to do everything in each of those manuals, that's all you would do your entire life. You couldn't have a job, you couldn't have kids, you couldn't have a family, because all you would be doing is be going through those checklists of the cleaning, of the maintenance. Sometimes when we take shortcuts, Go to the next slide there. Things like this can happen. There's a little delay there. So, my wife is from Pittsburgh, and you may remember a few weeks ago that this happened. In Pittsburgh, there are a lot of bridges, and this one is actually outside the city. But if you remember this news story, there was a morning, and this bridge collapsed. It wasn't actually because it wasn't built well. It's because the maintenance was not kept up. When we skip over details, when we skip over maintenance, things like this can happen. And it's very hard to check all the boxes. And in our reading today, we have someone, Jesus, who the crowd states is overwhelmed and amazed by because he has done everything well. One of the things that Jesus does well is speak. And in John chapter 7, verse 46, you have the guards, and they're responding to the chief priests. And the guards say, no one has ever spoke the way that this man does. Jesus speaks clearly. He speaks full of wisdom. He speaks like he did in Luke chapter 4. Read with me chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." No one has spoken like this. And this brings us to our first point, that actions speak louder than words. We all know this to be true, right? I've known several co-workers. A lot of times we have hired students who are fresh from grad school. And their employment is contingent on, at some point, they will pass the certification that's required. And I've had a couple grad students, they come and they join us, and they're getting ready to take the certification. And I'm asking how their studying's going. And one or two of them have said, "I don't need to study. You know, everything's fresh from my studies. I remember the classwork, and that's what it's on. I've got this." Why didn't they need to study? Because they knew it all, right? And then what happened? They failed the test. Jesus is not saying that he doesn't need to study for the test. What Jesus is saying is that he is God's Son. He's saying, "I was sent by the Father, I am the Christ, and I will give sight to the blind." But if Jesus doesn't make the blind see, and if he doesn't make the lame walk, it's just words, right? And when actions don't match your words, we have a credibility issue. But Jesus has no credibility issue. We have gone through Mark, and Jesus has called out the demons, he has stopped the bleeding, and he has raised the dead girl. What Jesus says, he backs up. But let's dig a little deeper here. Let's go back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. And I want to start in verse 3. Verse 3 doesn't necessarily have to do with our story today, but I think it's good for us to hear today. So, from Isaiah, "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear." Do not fear what? Now, we are not to add or subtract from God's word. But if you were going to add a word after fear, I think you could put anything. And I think it would be a good word to put for our world today. We prayed about the war. We prayed about our children. We have the virus. The world wants us to live in fear, but this is what Isaiah says. This is what God says. Do not fear anything. And why? Because your God will come. And our God does what he says he'll do. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And now we get into our verses. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. When Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears, when he touches the man's tongue, Isaiah 35 is fulfilled. Jesus does what he says he will do. And we know from Isaiah now that God the Father does what he says he will do. God keeps his promise. When Jesus tells the woman, your sins are forgiven, the world's reaction is blasphemer. But Jesus backs it up. And he backed it up on the cross. He does all things well. Who is Jesus? Well, today, he's the great physician. Why did he come? He came to heal. And what does that mean for us? We're going to come back to that. Our second point, though, is if we want to walk the walk, if we want our walk to match our talk, if we want to be more like Jesus, then the second item we need to learn is we are going to need to meet with people where they're at. We're going to need to meet people one-on-one. Read with me again, verse 31. Can you grab me verse 31 there? There we go. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. Now, Jesus, as you remember, as we went through Mark, was in Tyre. And you remember from Pastor Tom a couple weeks ago. So we're in Mark, went through the vision for a couple weeks, and we're back in Mark. Where we left off in Mark was the Syrophoenician woman. And remember, Jesus said in verse 27 earlier, first let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then Jesus said, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. So this was in Tyre. Now, as Jonathan stated, Jesus went, and you can see, I don't have a laser there, but on the west side here, you can see Tyre. And see that red arrow going up to Sidon. So Jesus healed the woman's daughter there in Tyre. And then he knew that he was going down to the Decapolis. But Jesus went 25 miles north to Sidon to get to where he wanted to go, which was down at the Decapolis. Keep that in mind as we continue here. Because Jesus was big at this time, okay? He had fed the 5,000. But out of the crowd, look with me in verse 33 what it says. After he took him aside In our vision statement, we say that we want to be a loving family of disciples. If we want to be those disciples, you are going to be called to help people where they're at. You're going to be called to meet with people in small groups. You're going to be called to meet with someone hurting one-on-one. Jesus demonstrates this time and time again. Sometimes it's to explain. Today it was to heal. But it's always relational. And it's always out of love. We're called to be in many different organizations. You have many roles at work. Many of you have many jobs here within the church. But at times we need to be in smaller groups talking about eternal things. What makes smaller groups special is it's easier to talk. Now, can you imagine? Jesus pulled this guy aside. Can you imagine looking into Jesus' eyes? Just you and him. It was easier to share. It's easier to cry. To be real. Eleanor Roosevelt talked about communication. She said, "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people." What was she talking about? Well, if you haven't had a conversation with another human being outside of sports, the weather, or gossiping about other people, you have a New Year's resolution. You know, we may be heading into March, but you have a New Year's resolution because that is not what we're called to be. And I'll be honest with you. There's a truth that comes to being with people. And you know what it is. What happens when you work with people? You can be let down, right? It's going to be challenging, right? It's going to be messy. But we sang about it this morning. Jesus seems to take this excuse away. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. He spit and touched the man's tongue. You see, Jesus doesn't seem too concerned with getting messy. He doesn't seem too concerned about being messy when it comes to being relational, when it comes to showing love, and when it comes to being eternal. Because putting your fingers in someone else's ears, it doesn't get too much more real than that. It doesn't get too much more relational, more love, or eternal. And that's when you know you're in the right place. And that's why community groups are a part of our vision here at Grace. You see, for this deaf and mute man, this wasn't a sermon topic. This was his life changed forever because Jesus chose to travel 25 miles north to come down and meet with him one-on-one. And Jesus wants to spend this one-on-one time with you. Like the woman who was bleeding, like the father's son was dying, like the deaf man, we just need to come. We need to fall on our knees. A Let's continue here in verse 32. There are some people brought to him, a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. This is not a case of wanting to touch a celebrity. You know, some joke, you know, if they were to touch Bon Jovi, they would never wash their hand again, right? This is not the case. Why didn't they ask Jesus to heal the man they brought? To answer that, we need to go back a couple of chapters. Turn with me back to chapter 5. Now, you remember, this was the man who was demon-possessed, and Jesus healed him by calling the evil spirits out and sent them into the pigs. Remember this a few weeks ago? And the pigs were drowned in the lake. So we're going to read, go back a couple weeks. You'll remember Mark 5, 18 through 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Where is the deaf man in our reading today? He's in the Decapolis. Jesus heals the demon-possessed man and tells him to go. And he trusts and obeys. We are to trust and obey. We are to experience Jesus and then go. The now healed, demon-possessed man goes and prepares the soil for Jesus, who knows in chapter 5 that he's going to be going down to the Decapolis in that town. And so when Jesus arrives there, the people brought the deaf and mute man and begged for what? Look with me. Just to place his hand on the man. Not to heal him. They knew that would come. Their faith was seen in action. But then as we were going through our vision these past couple weeks, in verse 32 it says, there are some people. Who are these people? I've heard it said that they were his friends. And what an awesome example it is for us, Grace Church. If these are his friends, that they knew that the Savior was coming, and they had to get their brother to the Savior. Because they knew that his life would be changed. That's the church that we want to be. That's our vision. But then it says, there are some people. And I got to thinking, like, if that was me in the story, if I was the deaf and mute man, and my family got me to Jesus, and you guys witnessed it, is that how you would write this up? There are some people? You know, those aren't just some people. You know, you might say his beloved wife. You might say, and then his perfect children brought him. You wouldn't say there were some people. What if they didn't even know this man? That, too, is an awesome picture of who we want to be in our community. If you haven't been with us, this is our vision: to become a loving family of disciples who pray, worship, and grow together, serving others and sharing the gospel in our local communities and world. And that is what these people did. I don't know if they knew this man, but they knew they had to get him to the Savior. And they did it. That is what we want to be out there. We want to be that as a family here, and we want to be that light in our communities. It's a beautiful thing to see God's plan at work. When you see the pieces fit together. You see, for us, sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, enraging an entire town by drowning their pigs, their 401k plan, you know, into the lake, that may not look like a way to build a kingdom to us. But it was part of his perfect plan. There are many who are tempted to look past, you know, as we changed years here from 21 to 22, to look back and say, good riddance. But look at how God has worked. How will he continue to use these trials? Maybe this virus for his glory. His ways are higher than our ways. Who is Jesus? Today he was the great physician. Why did he come? Today, he came to heal. And what does it mean for us? He does all things well. So what that means for us is we don't have to. So Grace Church, some of you are waiting. Some of you are waiting to start praying. Some of you are waiting to forgive somebody. Some of you are waiting to give your life. You're waiting until you can check off all those boxes of those manuals. And that's never going to happen. He has done it. He has done it well. And that's why the time is now. Today is the day. Today is the day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for our church family. We thank you that we can come together as one. We thank you for your example. We thank you for holding to your promises. We thank you for your love, that you call us your children. Lord, we pray for those that are waiting, that today could be the day that they give it up. That's in your name we pray. Amen.